Okay, I want to move on to, well, not so much soccer rage, but air rage. And it is on the rise, particularly at Tullamarine Airport. It's been revealed this morning that from March to September of this year, the Australian Federal Police clocked 473 offences for violent and disruptive behaviour. It must have been bad. 133693, 133693 is behaviour at our airports out of control. What examples have you seen of poor traveller behaviour? I mean, it is frustrating when you can't actually get the self-serve ticket machine to get going or check your bags in, but it's certainly no excuse to just lose your proverbial. 133693 is the number. Joining us on the line is James Nixon, who's an author, a speaker, and a retired A380 captain. G'day, James.
G'day, TJ. Look, I can answer all your questions here today. Number one, the boulevard starts tomorrow night. It's five nights. It's been reduced to five nights, so the lights start tomorrow night on the boulevard for five nights. Number two, what's wrong with Amy Stadium? How come the clubs get done for bad behaviour? But who let these flares into the premises? And this goes what we're doing at the airports as well. You know, we cannot reward this bad behaviour by people either at the airport or at the soccer.
Well, okay, let's stick to the airport for the moment. So what are we seeing at the airport? What type of offences are there? Not just at ground level, but also in the air.
Well, the biggest drama is that people only go to the airport once or twice a year, usually Easter and Christmas are the two big times. And every time you go to the airport, it's changed because they're always building sites. Every airport in the world is trying to catch up with growth. So all around the world, you're trying to run an airline and an airport as well as a building site. So things are changing all the time. The car park's doubling, tripling, quadrupling in size. Every time you go, you drive there, you get lost because there's new roads and it's difficult. So you're starting from behind the eight ball. Before you even get there, you're late and there's stress trying to get there. Airports around the world are being taken over by shopping centre owners and they're turning them into shopping centres. It's great for domestic use in Australia. The product offering from the airlines is so bad in the air that people now eat at restaurants at the airports before they get in the plane. So just navigating through with your baggage and all the drama that goes with it causes people to be stressed out before they get on the flight.
Which is obviously, I mean, all of those are reasons, but they shouldn't be excuses, should they?
That's it. As I said, and we have to stop rewarding bad behaviour and bad excuses. Like, you just can't keep saying, I'm bashing up a flight attendant because my car park was in the wrong spot. You know, the cabin crews and the pilots and all the aircraft workers, it's against the federal law if you attack an air crew member or damage the aircraft. Even if you scratch or bang the door or try and rip off the tray table, there's a big piece of legislation that can put you in jail for up to 20 years. So we've got to be very serious. When we get on the airplane, we can't do the stuff we do at the supermarkets anymore.
Well, as I said, I'd love to hear from our listeners as to what you have seen at the airport and what you've seen mid-flight, for that matter. And, I mean, tensions can boil over once you're in the air as well, if you've got some person behind you that sort of wants to put the foot up in between your armrest and the actual window area or anything like that. Like, basically, don't invade my space. I don't have a lot of it, so don't invade it. And I guess airlines adopt. Well, what's the procedure then, James? Can you take me through it? So in your own flying days, you're there in the cockpit, okay, along with your crew, and the air steward comes up and says, listen, we've got a problem down the back. There's a couple of guys that are simply drinking too much. We've stopped them from having any more alcohol. We've stopped serving them. What do we do in that situation?
Right. So usually there's a complete protocol that the crew go through. And they have, from warning people, limiting their alcohol intake, watering it down in some cases, and it finally gets to the point where the person's kicked off and they get, if they get violent and the crew has to restrain them, then they'll ask for my permission because the captain has full authority on the aircraft, and they ask me if I can delegate my powers to maybe restrain the person if they're getting violent and trying to move around the airplane or bashing up other people, which is what really kicks off mainly. It's other passengers interacting with them that we're seeing. And so when they may have to restrain a passenger.
So how do you do that? In what form do you do that?
Well, all cabin crew, I mean, they might look like they're waitresses to you, but for us, there's two roles that they perform that you never, hopefully never see. One is security and number two is firefighters. And they also do medical and first aid. So they're very highly trained and they work together as a team. And it's quite funny to see, as I have seen, four or five small, tiny Asian ladies completely dismantle a 6-foot-tall bloke who's going off in the aisle.
So can you cuff any rowdy passengers or put those plastic ties on them? Well,
they're not just plastic ties. They're a thing developed by the SAS in England. So they're a very, very strong plastic tie with a key as well. And so they've got many, there's about five of them on the A380, I think maybe six. And so they're right throughout the aircraft and they'll put them in the seat. And then we just call ahead for the police to come and take them off the airplane.
Geez, I'll tell you what, if you're sort of only 1 hour into a flight to LA, it's a long time to have them sitting there.
Tony, because it's actually a physiological thing. We know this because it's how people are affected by hypoxia when the cabin pressure is lessened on the ground. So when you get in a 737 or an A320, you're going straight to the top of Mount Kosciuszko in 10 minutes. If you're in an A380, you're going to the top of Falls Creek, and if you're in a 787, you're going to Mount Buller. Now, people, if you're a heavy smoker, you're already at about 8,000 feet before you take off. So we know that these smokers are already mildly hypoxic before they get on the airplane. One of the symptoms from hypoxia is a belligerent sort of violent attitude. You've heard of those cases of people trying to open the doors and step out after 10 hours on an international flight. That's what happens. So you can prepare for all of these symptoms. I mean, the hypoxia is going to be the same, but your reaction to it, if you're a smoker, take nicotine chewing gum, get your doctor to give you patches, plan all of this ahead of the flight. Because we know, after 3 hours, a heavy smoker will kick off. Now, they'll feel agitated, they'll feel stressed out, and sadly, airlines can't actually administer nicotine chewing gum. But that's all it needs, in many cases, just to calm these people down.
Jeez, okay. And obviously, you know, they're not going to legislate to allow to do that. So fascinating stuff, James. I could talk all day, but time is against us. So thanks for some of your time this morning.
My pleasure, TJ. Thanks a lot. Have a great Christmas.
Yeah, you too. James Nixon joining us there, author, speaker, and a retired A380 captain. Fascinating, isn't it?